2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen. Dave and
Dejanovic. Closing in on Election Day, midterm 2022. And there's a race that we've been following from way across the country. It's between John Fetterman and a TV doctor by the name of Dr. Oz. And they're both running for a Senate seat out of Pennsylvania. And this one's really captured our attention for a lot of reasons, the things that Dr. Oz has said. But then also, John Fetterman recently suffered a stroke earlier this year.
Yeah. And Debbie, I realized I must not know a lot about strokes because when he returned, and he has returned different, he's not the same John. I knew John Fetterman over the last year or so because he's really this outgoing personality.
Super tall guy.
Oh, he's a huge guy.
He walks in the room.
His personality is dynamic. Even though you may not like his politics, you can't help but love the guy. I mean, he's just really an engaging individual. So when he came back from his stroke, he experienced a stroke back in the spring. He goes off the campaign trail for a few months. And when he comes back, this is one of his first rallies after the stroke.
Let's get some stuff done for America. Who would ever think that I would be the normal one in the race here? You know, with that.
And that's just one of many moments that he's had where he's struggling to speak, trying to articulate his thoughts. In a lot of his interviews, he will use what's called a closed captioning device that will actually write out the questions so he can read them because he has a hard time hearing, processing. So the question I have is, okay, if he's visibly and clearly a different person, how much does this change him as a candidate?
Dr. Samuel Cheshire, I think I said that wrong, even though our producer says it. She gave us a phonetical spelling of it, doctor. Why don't you say it for us?
You said it just fine.
I did.
Thank you.
Cheshire, okay. Director of Pediatric Surgical Neuro-Oncology with the University of Utah Health, also founding member of Black Physicians of Utah. So grateful you could help walk us through this. Let's start with this. What are the short-term effects of strokes, doctor?
Well, the short-term effects of the strokes depend on where in the brain the stroke has affected. And specifically, a stroke is a lack of oxygen in tissue in your brain causing damage. The damage can be temporary or the damage can be permanent. And so depending, again, different parts of your brains control different parts of your intellectual and bodily functions, including your ability to sensate things, sense things, and also your ability to move and coordinate properly. So the most common sort of symptoms that people can recognize in terms of strokes are weakness and numbness in the face, arms, or legs, meaning can't move the arm and leg and can't feel the arm and leg or the face. And but other problems that are very recognized are problems with speech and problems with understanding language as well.
How do you know when this is a short-term effect and when it's a long-term?
Well, some strokes called transient ischemic attacks last for less than an hour. So if the symptoms go away in less than an hour or even less than that, then it's going to be short term. Some strokes last for about a day in terms of the symptoms. But when they persist longer than that, you know that they're going to be something that's going to be with you for a period of time. And that That also depends on how quickly you came to therapy or came to the doctor. And that's why it's important to know if you're having signs of stroke to get to the doctor as soon as possible, because people who get to the hospital within 3 hours have a significantly less deficits in the mid to long term than people who take more than 3 hours.
When there is damage, and obviously there has been damage, I know you can't speak specifically to John Fetterman, but how much can you rehabilitate? How much can be relearned?
Well, you can rehabilitate 100%, depending on the degree of the stroke and its location of the stroke. And for the main problem that Don Fetterman is having is hearing processing disorder, audio processing disorder. They're not cognitive deficits at all, so they're not. It's not an intelligence issue. It's an issue of him being able to hear things correctly, and it's most affected by being in a loud room. So that's why closed caption device and personalized audio assistance devices help, because he can read it instead of having to hear it, and also you can broadcast it directly to his ear, and he should be able to completely understand it.
So, doctor, it sounds like it's the ambient noise is it just throwing off then, in your view, his ability to process what's being said if he's got like a loud room full of people and one person's talking to him?
Yeah, that is that seems most consistent to what my understanding of what the reporters have said, because many reporters have said that, well, when I have him in a room interviewing one-on-one, they don't see any problems in him whatsoever. But where we often see a candidate is outside, and there's a lot of noise, and in the acoustics in the area is not necessarily the greatest for that particular condition.
How would we know if someone does have long-term issues?
You would have to see his medical records in order to know that. And even within the medical records, you would have to have things like detailed neuropsychiatric testing and cognitive testing to understand truly what's going on and what those issues are. So I don't think that in this instance you would really know that.
Would people have a hard time, I guess, maybe outside looking in, all we can do is kind of judge for ourselves, because I think you're correct. He's not releasing any of this documentation, his medical records. People have been asking for it. He's refused, which again is certainly his right. But as a person outside looking in, at what point can you make that determination? Like, oh, this is somebody that really is struggling, and then this person is, oh, he's just having a hard time hearing. I can see. I don't know, how do you make that determination if I'm a voter or just, you know, the layperson.
I don't think that anyone outside of people who are medically trained and his physicians can actually make that determination. What you can know is there's been a number of senators who have suffered strokes, including Ray Lijon, Chris Van Hollen, and Mark Kirk. They have all had strokes, and they all recovered and became fully productive senators again. So just having the stroke doesn't necessarily mean you can't do the job. And he has been cleared to go back to work fully, which says a lot.
Interesting. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Samuel Cheshire, surgical neuro-oncology with the University of Utah and a founding member of Black Physicians of Utah.
Fascinating conversation. He brought new perspective to this conversation for me, because for so many months we've just been reporting that Fetterman had a stroke. He's had a stroke. And what Dr. Cheshire was able to explain was that it's the stroke, the symptoms that he's experiencing are exacerbated when he is in the middle of a crowd. And I didn't know that. Is that news to you?
He explained it very well. He explained it very well, so we appreciate him joining us.
Yeah. So thank you so much for the phone call and ironing out that detail. Another Senate race we'll continue to keep an eye on right here at KSL News Radio.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.